Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Health Matters, a program for those who are sick and in need of a physician of body and soul. You're listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Juliana Krieger and this is Health Matters. In this show, we look at the psychological, social and spiritual implications that illnesses have on patient and family. In the first half, we speak to Dr. Andrew Nicholson about the practical and more physical implications. In the second half, Pastor Lynn Hansen considers the spiritual struggles that chronic and terminal patients face. But both, doctor and pastor, hope to do more than that. They also want to give guidance and comfort to the weary and burdened soul, and to remind them that God is with them and for them, no matter what comes their way. Last week, we spoke about menopause. Thank you for your emails, comments, and questions. Today we'll talk about another stressful condition for both patient and family. Our topic is anorexia. We welcome back Dr. Andrew, with whom we will be discussing the medical aspects of anorexia. Dr. Andrew, could you tell us what anorexia is?
Anorexia nervosa is defined really as extreme weight loss as a result of very strict dieting. A lot of the time, these patients believe they are fat, and are terrified, in fact, of becoming, in fact, a normal weight or shape. The diagnosis is essentially based on something called a body mass index, which is a function of height and weight. And a BMI for a normal person is somewhere between 18 units and 25 units. Over 25, you're overweight, and under 18, you're thin. And a BMI of under 17 would define anorexia. They quite often have, if they're ladies, and only 10% of people with anorexia are men. If they are ladies, they have something called amenorrhea, where they actually stop menstruating. And that is, from a GP's point of view, quite a useful predictor as to whether this is weight loss is significant. It affects about 20 per 100,000 people. As I said, men are pretty well not likely to have this, but if they do develop it, it is likely to be missed. Typical age is usually 13 to 15, somewhere in the mid-adolescence. It seems to occur in families to an extent, and it occurs in people with low self-esteem and perfectionists. A lot of this, of course, the low self-esteem tends to occur naturally anyway, in adolescence. They quite often present, as I said, with the weight loss and dread of gaining weight. Ladies quite often are very clever at camouflaging their weight loss, wearing large, loose, baggy clothes that can actually hide the problem. They make them look normal, but in fact, when the doctor stands back and looks at them, he realizes that don't look at the clothes, look at the lady underneath, and the lady underneath is quite often stick thin. There is a tendency for today's society to value thinness above plumpness, whereas in the 18th century it was exactly the other way round. Plumpness was very much to the vogue. Quite often people present with depression and obsession and a preoccupation with food, but food in that they love to cook for other people and not for themselves. Quite often there's a crossover with bulimia, and indeed there's a fair amount of self-induced vomiting and taking of laxatives. And also, they tend to over-exercise. They tend to love going to gyms and run for hours. A lot of the time it's important to get the diagnosis firmed up early, because the sooner you can make the decision there is a problem, the sooner you can start introducing some sort of help. Quite often there are simple tests. There's the SCOFF test, which is quite funny. SCOFF, so S. Do you ever make yourself sick because you feel full? Do you worry you've lost control over how much you eat? Have you ever lost more than one stone in a three-month period? Do you believe yourself to be fat when others say you are too thin? Would you say that food dominates your life? And these questions are a very useful tool to see whether somebody is at risk of developing anorexia. I think also there is a physical risk to have a BMI that's very low. The people's nutrition, if your BMI is below 14, is poor. Their circulation's poor. their blood pressure very low. Quite often their physical musculature is unable to control them, so that if they sit down, they can't get up without using their arms to lever themselves up. Quite often the building blocks of the blood, the things called electrolytes, are significantly affected. There are simple tests that can be made, and my point of view, a thyroid function test is a very useful blood test to do. You can actually do other tests, but essentially the diagnosis is made on the description and what you see. How to manage this? If indeed somebody's BMI is not that low, then a simple discussion with the patient and support through the months will help. However, they don't respond, you really need to send them off to see somebody who's got more expertise in this. We have special anorexia clinics, and indeed there's a small hospital where you can admit patients with significant problems. But because people tend to present too late, you quite often are presented with something that is quite dramatic. I remember a patient of mine who refused to go into hospital until, in fact, her weight had gone down to 3 stone, and she was admitted as a virtual skeleton. She was gradually turned around, but it affected her bones, her teeth, all sorts of parts of her body. There's some evidence that the family dynamics in some patients is a little odd, and sometimes family therapy can help for these patients. Quite often, you have to use medication. It's said that the use of fairly high doses of Prozac can help with this illness. But my finding is that really that the drugs don't help a great deal. It's important that most patients need to realise that this is a significant problem that will take years, not weeks or months. It's going to take a long time. And in fact, my experience of patients is that once they develop this illness, they will always have a problem with their weight. That you need to regularly weigh them and essentially manage the patient so that they get used to weighing themselves and basing their decisions about their weight based on the evidence of weighing scales rather than what they perceive they see in the mirror.
Anorexia is no small thing and can lead to all sorts of other disorders. What are the main ones?
I think the major problems are the effects of starvation on important organs. For instance, you can get heart failure, and we all remember Karen Carpenter of the Carpenters dying from heart disease when she had anorexia. People can develop acute renal failure as well, and also it can affect the amount of potassium in the body, and this actually, if your potassium levels get too low, then this can affect the heart rate. So the mortality and morbidity, the mortality is at least 15% with this illness, and it has to be taken seriously. As I said, recovery can take a long time. We need to monitor the weight. The risk is affected by many factors, not just the body mass index. There's a substance misuse carries a high risk, particularly alcohol, because alcohol is a poison, and as a consequence, the poisoning of a very thin person can be done with just small doses of alcohol. And we need to also keep an eye on people using binge and purge methods as well. Depression, anxiety and family arguments are probably secondary to the disorder, not the cause of it. So it is desperately important to treat the anorexia first and worry about the other problems later. Medication seems to have little benefit in anorexia. There's a really high risk of dangerous side effects in very malnourished patients. Try to involve the family and encourage a calm but firm and assertive approach to care, to be the mentor to these families and be there for them when they have their crises, because there will be more than one time when things go wrong, and the patient quite often will try and project all her problems onto her parents.
Thank you, Doctor. We will take a break now, and when we come back, Pastor Lynn Hansen will speak to us of his experiences in the spiritual care of people affected by anorexia. Stay tuned, because there's more to come. We'll be right back after these messages.
If you like what you're listening to, then let your contacts know about Lutheran Radio UK. Use the spread the word function on our website, lutheranradio.co.uk, and tell your friends on Facebook and Twitter. Alternatively, you can write the emails of your contacts in the Tell a Friend field at the bottom of our main page, and we'll send them a personalized invitation to listen. Help us to proclaim the good news of Christ by telling others about Lutheran Radio UK. And don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter, and we will keep you right up to date about our programs.
If you would like to know more about the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England, then visit our website, www.lutheran.co.uk. On our comprehensive website, you can learn more about us, what we believe, and where we are, with direct links to all our congregations in England, Wales, and Scotland. We offer a schedule of all the activities that we're engaged with, and which you can attend to get to know more about our Lord Jesus Christ. Should you be interested, you can also find out more about Lutheran theology and Westfield House, the Theological College of the ELCE. If you would like to support our work, you can use our secured link. Visit www.lutheran.co.uk. ELCE, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England.
Redeemer Theological Academy, a program designed to help Christians articulate what they believe and why they believe it, and to enable them to confess the faith that was handed down from the apostles. Redeemer Theological Academy, confessing Christ to an unbelieving world, with Pastor Brian Keschelmeyer, every Friday on Lutheran Radio UK. Go to our website for times and podcasts.
You are listening to Lutheran Radio UK, all about Christ and to all God's people.
We're back with Health Matters and Pastor Lynn Hansen. Welcome back, Pastor. How stressful does anorexia get to both patient and family?
Let us begin with prayer. Almighty God, we give thanks for all your goodness and bless you for the love that sustains us from day to day. We praise you for the gift of your Son, our Savior, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, for your Holy Church, for the means of grace, for the lives of all faithful and just people, and for the hope of the life to come. Help us to treasure in our hearts all that you have done for us, and to enable us to show our thankfulness in lives that are wholly given to your service. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. If people believe Christians are immune from disease or affliction, they are wrong. Christians are people, the same as everybody else. Christians are afflicted. God never promised to remove affliction. God did promise to remain with his children during their time on earth, to comfort and care for them, even if they suffered from an eating disorder. Eating disorders have specific diagnostic criteria. Anorexics and bulimics refuse or cannot achieve a body weight of 85% of the normal weight and height for their age. Teens that have an eating disorder are often severely afraid of gaining weight and have a distorted body image, even if they are severely underweight. Teenage girls often experience amenorrhea, which is the absence of the menstrual period for at least 3 months. According to the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, the exact cause of eating disorders is unknown. As with other mental illnesses, there may be many causes. Possible causes of eating disorders include 1. Biology. There may be genes that make certain people more vulnerable to developing eating disorders. People with first-degree relatives, siblings or parents, with an eating disorder may be more likely to develop an eating disorder also, suggesting a possible genetic link. In addition, there's some evidence that serotonin, a naturally occurring brain chemical, may influence eating behaviors. 2, there may be psychological and emotional health issues. People with eating disorders may have psychological and emotional problems that contribute to the disorder. They may have low self-esteem, be perfectionists, or they may have impulsive behaviors in troubled relationships. The third one is society. The modern Western cultural environment often cultivates and reinforces a desire for thinness. Success and worth are often equated with being thin in popular culture. Peer pressure and what people see in the media may fuel this desire to be thin, particularly among young girls. The rub comes from the fact that we live in this world, and the world has a very powerful influence upon every aspect of our lives. Society appears to have the greatest influence upon how we view ourselves. The media today promotes models that are 10, 20, sometimes 30 pounds underweight. Christian or not, teens are highly conscious as to how they compare to one another, and appearance and fitting in is a big part of a teenager's life. The Bible does not come out and directly confront eating disorders. However, God's Word does emphasize that our bodies are the temple of God, and we are to care for them as such. Anorexia and bulimia are dangerous disorders that can severely harm our bodies. Besides the damage to the body, the Bible also tells Christians to be more concerned with what is going on inside ourselves rather than how we look. Appearance is not the most important factor in faith. While the Bible calls Christians to be in the world, not of the world, the pressures to be thin surround all of us. Let us look at a couple Bible passages here. The first one is from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with the 19th verse. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. And from 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, the Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And from Romans chapter 12, verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. God's Word clearly tells us that we are to be in this world, but not a part of it. This means we are to live our lives according to God's Word, not according to what society says. Often when I talk with patients, I tell them that they will live their lives according to what they fill their head with. If you fill your head with the ways of the world, you will live a life according to the world, but contrary to God's Word. If you fill your head with God's Word, you will live a God-pleasing life. Looking at the mixed-up mess the world is in, I would rather live a good life than trying to constantly compete with ever-changing, selfish, worldly ways. Let us not live according to the sinful flesh, but according to what God desires for us. Eating disorders can be overcome with proper treatment that includes counseling and medical care. Christian Eating Disorder Centers work with patients offering prayer, counseling, medical care, nutrition education, and much more. The trained staff works with each patient to help them obtain a better body image, reduce anxiety surrounding food, and learn to eat healthy again. No treatment is instant, and much prayer and love is needed to support a person recovering from an eating disorder. Let us join together in prayer. Most gracious God and Father, you know our needs, our wants, our desires, and what afflicts us. Help us to live a life that is pleasing to you, and not a selfish life chasing the ways of the world. Satisfy us with what is best for us. Help us to be content with the life you bless us with. If it be thy will, remove from us that which afflicts us in body, mind, and soul. Bless us with the work of your Holy Spirit in lives to guide and direct our ways. These things we pray through Christ Jesus, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I encourage you to continue to read and study God's Word. This week, read the short letters the Apostle John wrote. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. Listen to God speak to you through His written Word. Also, I encourage you to gather with other Christians for worship and fellowship. If you don't have a church home, contact Lutheran Radio UK or the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England to locate a parish near you.
That was Hospital Chaplain Pastor Lynn Hansen speaking to us from St. Paul, Minnesota. Thank you, Pastor. We'll come back with you and Dr. Andrew Nicholson next week when our topic will be dialysis. Please send your comments, questions, and suggestions on our show to info@lutheranradio.co.uk, and we'll do our best to reply to every message. The podcast of this show is available for download from our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. You will find us under Program. When you're there, take a look at our other shows and stay tuned. Goodbye for now, and God bless.
Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Check our program times online at lutheranradio.co.uk and stay tuned. All of our programs are broadcast on Greenwich Mean Time. Look up our website for the times in your region.